Good morning, and welcome to the Mountain View St. Giles Combined Online Worship Service. I hope that you can be blessed by the Spirit, and I know in these weird times it's unusual to do it this way, but I really believe that God's showing us that church isn't just the building. It happens in our homes and our businesses. It's wherever we bring the Spirit. So enjoy the Spirit everywhere would be my encouragement. Now, I know this week, as we've heard from Dr. Bonnie Henry, that we are looking at potentially having 50 or less in our groups, and we believe in both our churches. We should be able to have people come to service soon in a ordered and safe environment. We will have social distancing practices. We'll make sure everything is clean. It will obviously be different. There won't be the passing of the peace or the coffee time after, but we will be doing something. The question you're going to have from your elders this week is, would you attend? Because we need to know numbers. Do not feel like you must attend the service. If you are immune compromised or feel uncomfortable in any way, we're going to continue to do the online services. But if you're a person who feels like they would like to get back into a joint worship service, even if it is in a little bit of a new way that we have to work, then please let your elder know so we know how many people will be attending the churches. Now, let us quiet ourselves as we prepare our hearts for worship. This morning, we get to come before God's throne because of grace. It's hard for us to imagine that when we live in this materialist world, that God is right in front of us. His presence is here, and that he, because of the cross, has welcomed us into his presence. Let's take that seriously. Let's believe in the God who reveals himself, who speaks to us, who transforms us. This morning we get to worship the God who provides for us, who gives of himself so that we might live. Let us join our hearts together and let us celebrate Jesus Christ as Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your amazing grace to us through your Son. We thank you that through your Son, you showed us what it means to be human. You showed us the way to eternal life. You gave us the water that quenches our thirst in a way that's deeper than in any way we could have known, and the bread that fulfills us and satisfies us in ways that human bread cannot. We ask you, Father, even this morning, to forgive us our sins. We recognize throughout the week we have struggled maybe with our temper or lust or greed or just worry. Lord, forgive us. Give us hearts by your Spirit to trust you through this time. We ask you to be with us as we listen to the music and sing along, and as we hear the sermon, as we hear the word being read out. May you give us eyes to see and ears to hear. Touch us in a way that it transforms our lives. We thank you and we bless you, and we ask you to receive all the glory and honor. In Jesus' name, amen.
How good it is to know you, the life you give, I'm thankful. Each new moment of this day, I will honor you in every way. How good it is to know day, I will honor you in every every way. How good it is to know you, Jesus. How good it is. How good it is. How good it is to know you, Lord. How good it is to know you. The life you give, I'm thankful. Each new moment of this day, I will honor you in every way. How good it is to know you, Jesus. Darkness, we were waiting without hope, without light, till from heaven you came running. There was mercy in your eyes to fulfill the law and prophets. To a virgin came the word, from a throne of endless glory to a cradle in the dirt. Praise the Father, praise the Son, praise the Spirit, three in one. God of glory, majesty, praise forever to the King of Kings. To reveal the kingdom coming and to reconcile the lost, to redeem the whole creation, you did not despise the cross. For even in your suffering, you saw to the other side, knowing this was our salvation. Jesus, for our sake you died. Praise the Father, praise the Son, praise the Spirit, three in one. God of glory, majesty, praise forever to the King of Kings. In the morning that you rose, all of heaven held its breath, till that stone was moved for good, for the Lamb had conquered death. And the dead rose from their tombs, and the angels stood in awe, for the souls of all who'd come to the Father are restored. And the Church of Christ was born, then the Spirit lit the flame. Now this gospel truth of old shall not kneel, shall not faint. And by his blood and in his name, in his freedom I am free. For the love of Jesus Christ, who has resurrected me. Praise the Father, praise the Son, praise the Spirit, three in one. God of glory, majesty, praise forever to the King of Kings. praise forever to the King of Kings.
We must remind ourselves that when we give, and I know right now we're giving through the mail or online, but don't ever forget that it's a sign of worship. It is a worship experience when we give of what we have. And so I'd like to take this time to thank the Lord for all the gifts that the church has received, the churches, and ask Him to bless it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for all of these gifts that we've received. We ask You to use it for the building up of Your kingdom, to the glory of Your Son, Jesus Christ, by the power of Your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. This is a time where we pray for the needs of the people. Today I was thinking, what do we pray for? And we have some names that I want to share and pray for, but I was thinking about kids. We need to pray for our kids. They're going back to school, and they've been through a lot. And I think of the teachers, what they must be going through. There's so much fear, and none of us really know what information. So let's join our hearts together now and pray for all of those who are going through the changes and the stress right now. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You that You are so faithful to us. We thank You that we know that no matter what, the tomb is empty, we are going to be part of the resurrection. We ask You, Father, to be with the children for the stuff they've gone through, whether they're ready to graduate or just entered school this year or just home. They don't understand often what's going on any more than we do. We ask You to bless them. And then those who are going to go back to school, we pray You strengthen them. You keep them safe. We pray for the teachers, the stress level they must be going through. We pray You bless them. Bless them and keep them safe and help them to be surrounded by Your love. And we pray for the frontline workers. I think of Faye and Karen and those people who are still working and in stressful environments. We pray You'd continue to bless them. We pray for those who work in stores like my friend, and we pray for Xander. We pray that You would watch over him. Lord, we ask You to be with those who are suffering with illness and sickness right now, and especially those who've lost loved ones like June and Gwen, that You would bless them and surround them. Heavenly Father, you know, I think of Chris working at the save on there. Just a job like that, we thank You for that. There are people like that willing to do it. We pray You strengthen them. And we thank You for what You're doing up in Prince George with Al and Joanna and the leadership up there that are making decisions in difficult times. We thank You, and I thank You for the session here. Give us wisdom on when to open the church. Now we lift up that which is on our hearts to You. Lord Jesus, we thank You that You are faithful, that You hear our prayers, that You are a God who listens and speaks. We pray that You will seal these prayers, that You will keep them and You will act upon them. In Your Son's precious name, amen.
Today's Old Testament scripture reading is Psalm 78, verse 12 to 32. In the sight of their ancestors, He worked marvels in the land of Egypt. In the fields of Zoan, He divided the sea and let them pass through it, and made the waters stand like a heap. In the daytime, He led them with a cloud, and all night with a fiery light. He split rocks open in the wilderness and gave them to drink abundantly as from the deep. He made streams come out of the rock and caused waters to flow down like rivers. Yet they sinned still the more against him, rebelling against the Most High in the desert. They tested God in their heart by demanding the food they craved. They spoke against God, saying, "Can God spread a table in the wilderness?" Even though he struck the rock so that the water gushed out of the torrents overflowed, can he also give bread or provide meat for his people? Therefore, when the Lord heard, he was full of rage. A fire kindled against Jacob. His anger mounted against Israel because they had no faith in God and did not trust in his saving power. Yet he commanded the skies above and opened the doors of heaven, and he rained down on them manna to eat. He gave them the grain of heaven. Mortals ate the bread of angels. He sent them food in abundance. He caused an east wind to blow in the heavens, and by his power he let out the south wind. He rained flesh upon them like dust, and winged birds like the sand of the seas. He let them fall within their camp, all around their dwellings, and they ate and were filled. He gave them what they craved. But before they had satisfied their craving, while the food was still in their mouths, the anger of God rose against them, and he killed the strongest of them and laid low the flower of Israel. In spite of all this, they still sinned. They did not believe in his wonders. And our gospel reading today is John 6, verses 1 to 15. After this, Jesus went to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, also called the Sea of Tiberias. And a large crowd kept following him because they saw the signs he was doing for the sick. Jesus went up the mountain and sat down there with his disciples. Now the Passover, the festivals of the Jews, was near. And when he looked up and saw a large crowd coming toward him, Jesus said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread for these people to eat?" And he said this to test them, for he himself knew what he was going to do. Philip answered him and said, 6 months' wages would not buy enough bread for each of them to have a little." One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There is a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But what are they among so many people?" And Jesus said, "Make the people sit down." Now there was a great deal of grass in the place, and so they sat down, about 5,000 in all. Then Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated. So also the fish, as much as they wanted. And when they were satisfied, he told his disciples, "Gather up the fragments that are left over, so that nothing may be lost." So they gathered them up, the fragments of the 5 barley loaves left by those who had eaten, and they filled 12 baskets. When the people saw the sign that he had done, they began to say, "This is indeed a prophet who has come into the world." When Jesus realized that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, he withdrew again to the mountain by himself. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, as we know, we're in strange times, and I think probably the strangest or one of the strangest things that affected me right away was the fact that they said I might not be able to have as many barbecues, which for me, that's a grave injustice. You see, I like meat and I'm unapologetic, but as we know, this virus decided to take on meat production plants. In fact, CNN just said about a day ago on one of their headlines, there should be about 20% less barbecues this season. And I thought, it won't be at my house. So that's when you need a congregation to laugh. But there's a reality that comes in that the fact is things are being affected. Supply lines, we're realizing things are being built that we need desperately in our countries somewhere else. And now they're not coming. We've, for the first time in a long time, realized that we are needing something beyond ourselves. You see, the illusion is always that we can provide for ourselves. And to be frank, we can go down to Costco and pick up whatever we need for our family at whatever time. Maybe we go in debt doing it, but we have always had that. But now for the first time, people are rethinking and realizing that these things are limited resources, that there's a supply chain, that there's a reality that people will go hungry through this. There's a story that in the third world, if this thing catches on, they could lose tons of food and people will die from starvation again. There's a realization right now that you don't get very often in the pulpit, especially in the West, that we need something bigger than ourselves. And that's what this story today is all about. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your amazing grace. We thank you that you are the King of all kings, the Lord of all lords. We thank you that you are the provider. We pray, Father, that you would glorify your Son, that you would open our eyes and our ears, that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit, so that we might glean the beautiful truth of this text. In Jesus' name, amen. The story that we're telling today has been told in all four Gospels. It's the famous feeding on the hillside. But John does it a little different, as they all do. John's going to use numbers a little more, as he's wanting to do, but the basic point is almost all the same. It starts with this. Jesus went to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, also known as the Sea of Tiberias, and a large crowd kept following him. He's become a celebrity. He's become a mega pastor. Because they saw, but why did they follow him? Because they saw the signs that he was doing for the sick. Now, right away, we know enough if we've got this far in John that that means they're not exactly true disciples. Because in John's gospel, the seeking of signs as an end to itself is always seen as a negative. Jesus went up the mountain. That's where people go in the Bible to commune with God. And he sat down there with his disciples. Now the Passover, the festival of the Jews, was near. The Passover for these Jews was something incredible. It was their national holiday. It was their 4th of July. This was a time when they would come together and celebrate the greatest event in the world, the Exodus from Egypt. And it was especially important to them because they believed that one day God would come and bring a deliverer like Moses, who would deliver them from the Romans just like he did with Moses and the Egyptians. So there was not just the 4th of July, but a revolutionary feel. And he's in this, and that's why there's so many people there. When he looked up and saw the large crowd coming towards him, Jesus says to Philip, Where are we to buy bread for these people to eat? And he tells us it's a test. Well, you see, what Jesus is trying to do again and again is to get his disciples, to get the woman by the well, to get anybody, Nicodemus, to see past the physical only and recognize that if you're going to get Jesus, you're going to have to get the God who can do incredible things. You remember the question he asked Nicodemus when he said, you have to be born again. And Nicodemus, he could only see the world through the physical. And he says, I have to come out of a mother's womb again. You remember with the woman at the well, and Jesus says, I have living water and you'll never thirst again. She looks at him and goes, well, where's the thing you take the water out of the well for? Or the man in the pool of Bethesda, when Jesus says, do you want to be better or do you want to be well? And he says, I can't get someone to lift me in the pool. Everything they see is a stop by the reality of this world, not looking past to the reality of a God who takes care of this world, who created this world. And Jesus wants his disciples to start thinking bigger. Unfortunately for Philip, he doesn't pass the test. He says 6 months' wages would not buy enough bread for each of them to get a little. In other words, it's impossible. Nobody had that kind of money. No one carried that kind of money. And by the way, there weren't a Costco to go to buy that kind of food. There wouldn't even be food available of that much. So when Jesus is asking him this, he no doubt went, Jesus knows. Or he's ignorant. It was one of his other disciples that I think maybe got a clue that maybe something bigger Jesus was asking. Because he says to Jesus an impossible solution. There is a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But what are they amongst so many people? So Andrew at least takes the risk that maybe is this a possible solution? Notice it's a boy. Boys in the ancient world were considered nothing. They were low class. They were irrelevant until they became men. And notice how many he had. 2 fish and 5 loaves. That adds up to 7. That's the number of perfection. John wants you to see that. That there's going to be a perfect feeding here. And it's going to come from the resources of someone who's impossible. And it's going to happen in an impossible way. Because we have an impossible God who does the impossible. Jesus said, make the people sit down. Now there was a great deal of grass in this place, so they sat down. And it says about 5,000 in all in our interpretation. It actually says 5,000 men in the Greek. Why that's important is, why are there 5,000 men there anyways? Well, it's a revolutionary society. But that means there's probably like 20,000 with wives and children. Then Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated. So also the fish as much as they want. When they were satisfied, he told the disciples, gather up the fragments left over so that nothing may be lost. In other words, there's so much food that there's plenty more than we started with. Because this is a God of abundance. He doesn't just provide, he provides in abundance. So they gathered up the fragments, the 5 loaves left, the fragments of the 5 barley loaves left of those eaten, and they filled 12 baskets. What was Jesus trying to say there? Well, 12 was the tribes of Israel. In other words, God, Jesus was going to be able to provide them the true food for life of Israel, but it was also the 12 disciples who will become the leaders of the church, who will provide for his church. When the people saw the sign they had done, they began to say, this is indeed a prophet who has come into the world. And that's probably when you're reading, you're thinking, oh, this all worked out pretty well, right? Not so much. You see, if you remember the story about the original feeding in the Exodus, when God had poured down manna, when Moses prayed, the people didn't exactly respond well. The psalmist says it this way, therefore, when the Lord heard, he was full of rage. A fire was kindled against Jacob. His anger mounted against Israel because they had no faith in God and did not trust in his saving power, those ancients. Yet he commanded the skies above and opened the doors of heaven. He rained down on the manna to eat. This is a God who gives abundantly to those who don't appreciate him. And he gave them grain of heaven. Mortals ate of the blood of angels, the bread of angels. And he sent them food in abundance. Then they remembered that he was their rock, the Most High, their Redeemer. But they still didn't follow him. But they flattered him with their mouths. They lied to him with their tongues. Their heart was not steadfast towards him. And they were not true to his covenant. Even though he had done all of that, they still lived for self. Yet he, being compassionate, forgave the iniquity and did not destroy them. Often he restrained his anger and did not stir up all his wrath. He remembered that they were just flesh, a wind that passes and does not come again. How often they rebelled against him in the desert and grieved him in the wilderness. So we might expect the same thing. And that's what happens next. In this next sentence, we find out that these people weren't really following Jesus to follow God. They weren't really there to discover the great provider. They were there because they wanted a king like Caesar. It says, when Jesus realized that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, they couldn't see past this world into a world where a God was loving and kind and gentle and provided. They needed a king that could conquer. And they were just, in this story, as unfaithful. And that makes Jesus have to head off into the, with his disciples by himself again. You see, the truth is, they, neither the ancients or this group really understood what was happening in front of them, that God was showing he was the provider. That he would provide through the weak and the lonely. And the only way we're going to understand this text is we have to first realize that in John's gospel, Jesus is God. There's not another God behind door number two. He represents the Trinity, but he is God in flesh. He is the I Am. He is the one who created all things. This person here feeding these people in this place was a human that was fully God. And the only way we can understand that is to realize that we're not reading about a prophet or a king even, though he both is a prophet and a king in action. But we're looking at God. Karl Barth said this, "What is offered to man's apprehensions in any specific revelation of Christ is the living God himself." Every time you're reading about Jesus, remember you're looking at the character of God, and the character of God here is that he is a provider. And that's the important point. Jesus is the provider. And we, in our Western culture, do not like that. We like to think we're the provider. We think our genius and our intellect and somehow that we just have a right to food and drink. And we do. We think that. We like to think that this money just comes off trees. Because we've lived in a world where we've been blessed that there have been supply chains. And a time like this, sometimes we realize, well, maybe those supply chains aren't nearly as tight as we thought. But you see, when we think that we're the provider, we then become God. And we forget the truth that there is only one provider, and his name's Jesus Christ. Charles Spurgeon said it this way, "We have all things and abound, not because I have a good store of money in the bank, not because I have skill and wit with which to win my bread, but because the Lord is my shepherd." Because Jesus is God is why we have it. I was challenged by myself this week as I was prepping this sermon. How often do I say grace? That thankfulness and the recognition of who my real provider is. Or how much do I just assume it? I didn't like the answer I came up with. You see, because this God is so incredible, he's so self-giving, this provider does everything for us. That's why he's worthy of worship. He always and again focuses back on giving to us. And not just us, but in abundance. Don Carson said, "Jesus is hungry, but he feeds others. He grows weary, but he offers others rest. He is the King Messiah, but he pays tribute. He is called the devil, but casts out demons. He dies the death of a sinner, but comes to save his people from their sins. He is sold for 30 pieces of silver, but gives his life for ransom. He will not turn stones to bread for himself, but gives his own body as bread for his people." That's why he's worthy to worship, and there's no other God like him. That's the kind of provider. That's why we can trust. Because that's who he is. That's his character. And his character is in such a way that he refuses to share glory because he's the only one that deserves it. And thus he uses and chooses the weak and the needy. He takes little boys with their lunch kit. And through that little boy, blesses all those military men that were in front of him. All their families. Again and again, he chooses, and don't miss it, to use women at the well who were ostracized by their families. To heal people that have been injured for years. And heal them by the pool. Again and again, Jesus refuses to attribute to us what we think is power. Because he's the true one of power and worship. He chooses the little. Crazy old Smith Wigglesworth. And if you ever want to read a crazy autobiography, read his. He's just hilarious. But he did say one thing I really liked. When we come to the place of impossibilities, it is the grandest place for us to see the possibilities of God. Let me say that again. When we come to the place of impossibilities, it's the grandest place for us to see the possibilities of God. When we can solve it all ourselves and we can make sure that we can provide everything, oftentimes we think we don't need God, but when we are in need, have you ever noticed in your life that that's when God comes alive? It's not because he wasn't there, it's because we now have eyes to see. We get eyes to see that God is faithful, that Jesus is faithful. That's what this is about. This is about a God who sits, who provides, who works through the weak, and he is faithful, my friends, and he's asking us to trust him. Whether our business is booming or going down, whether we're employed or unemployed, whether we're riding high and things are going great, or it's a time where you get that awful diagnosis, Jesus ultimately is faithful because he doesn't just provide now, he provides into eternity. I like this quote by Ann Voskamp. Worry is belief gone wrong. Love that. Because you don't believe that God will get it right. But peace is a belief that exhales. Because you believe that God's provision is everywhere like air. God in Jesus Christ is the provider, and he is there and he is here. And we can trust because he's one who makes the promise that he will never leave us nor forsake us. And the promise shows God's faithfulness. Wayne Grudem, God's faithfulness means that God will always do what he said and fulfill what he's promised. And he has promised us to stay with us. Will we follow him? Or will we follow a God we want, a king we want, and shove him in that? Will we be faithful when he provides and worship him, or just flatter him with our tongues? Those are the challenges of a text like today, because we realize now that Jesus is the bread of life. In a few verses from now, he's going to say, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Let me say that again. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. That's a promise. But what he doesn't mean is that you won't have days where you can't have a barbecue. He doesn't mean you're going to always have your business exploding and making millions. What he says is, I will always be there to provide. Always be there, even through eternity. And of course, this is what this represents. What we're going to do today in communion is that very bread of life. It's the tangible part of the promise of life, and it's where we find life, in the person of Christ. Mother Teresa said, Jesus has made himself the bread of life to give us life. That's why it's here, to give us life. Night and day he is there. If you really want to grow in love, come back to the Eucharist. Come back to the communion table. Come back to that adoration of his life being given for us. The truth is, we don't deserve it. We don't deserve any of it. In reality, we need to see ourselves as a little boy who with a lunch kit, desperate for somebody to provide for him. Tomorrow it could all go south, save by the grace of God. He provides for us in every way, and we're always needing him. And that's why he's worthy of worship. And that's the kind of thing that changes the world, is when we believe it. That's when you go out and people listen, when you tell them, I am broken and I am needy, but I have a God who meets those needs. David Niles said, Evangelism is just one beggar telling another beggar where to find bread. Well, we are that beggar every day. And we thank, and here's the good news, he's the God who pours out in abundance. Not just food, but himself. He pours out his whole self on the cross so we might live. Let us worship this God. Let us trust this God. Let us follow this God who is called Jesus of Nazareth, the only one whose tomb is empty. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your amazing grace that you pour out upon us life and everlasting. That you gave your life for us, your body and your soul for us so that we might live. And that you continue to provide for us who often are messed up and got you wrong, and yet you still pour down through the weak things of this world upon us. We pray that the fruit of this awful pandemic might be that we come to appreciate who is the provider and take serious how awesome this gift is, and to be thankful and to live lives of thankfulness. In Jesus' name, amen.
When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul. Satan should buffet, though trials should come, let this blessed assurance control, that Christ hath regarded my helpless estate, and has shed his own blood for my soul. It is well with my soul, it is well, it is well with my soul. My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought, my sin not in part but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, O my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul. And Lord, haste the day my faith shall be sight, the clouds be rolled back as a scroll, the drum shall resound, and the Lord shall descend. Even so it is well with my soul, it is well with my soul. With well, it is well with my soul.
I'd like to invite anyone who believes that Jesus Christ is their Lord to come and join in this time where we receive the elements of communion. And I want to remind you what this is. This is not just a memory of an event that happened 2,000 plus years ago. This is a truth of the God who's in our presence today. No, the elements don't become God, Jesus' blood and body literally, but by the Spirit, Jesus is here. He's in these elements. So when you take this with serious, you are truly taking him upon yourself. He really is the bread of life. And he really does satisfy our thirst in a way that our cognitive reason can't understand. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we ask you to bless these elements, wherever they are, that you would speak to us through it by faith and remind us of the sacrifice, but also the gift of life that involves this. We thank you that you are faithful. We thank you that you are so good. Meet us here today, please, again, as we celebrate what you've done for us. In Jesus' name, amen. The Lord, on the night he died, before he died, he took the bread and he broke it and he said, "This is my body broken for you. Take in remembrance of me." The body of Christ broken for you. The way the Lord took the cup, and after dinner he said, "This cup is the new covenant sealed in my blood. Take in remembrance of me, the blood of Christ shed for you." I remind you the words from Paul, that every time we eat of this bread and drink of this cup, we pronounce the Lord's death until he returns. And I would remind you the good news, he is going to return. Amen. Set me free.
has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Then came the morning that sealed the promise. Your buried body began to breathe. Out of the silence, the roaring lion declared, the grave has no claim on me. Then came the morning that sealed the promise. Your buried body began to breathe. Out of the silence, the roaring lion declared, the grave has no claim on me. Jesus, yours is the victory. Hallelujah. Praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah. Death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Hallelujah. Praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah. Death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Oh God, you are my living hope.
Let's pray. Thank you, Father, that you have provided for us. We thank you that today, even amongst the anxiety, we have a God who is sovereign. We want to thank you for providing for all of those people in need. We pray, Lord, that you will give us hearts of thankfulness for everything we get, and remind us that you are the bread of life, the one who really satisfies us day in and day out. In Jesus' name, amen. Now go and be the people of God, the people fed by your Lord, the people who, like me, are beggars, and go to the other beggars out there and show them where to find bread. Point them to Jesus Christ so that they can be fulfilled, not just now, but for eternity. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.